Please be seated. Why don't we start right at the beginning? You see, this morning scripture tells us that Samuel is called into God's holy work in those days when the word of the Lord was rare. And something rings the bell here. I mean, it's not like we communicate with God or God communicates with us eye to eye kind of deal. And if you read the two preceding chapters of the first book of Samuel, you'll see that the meaning of the statement goes much deeper than that. Because the story reveals a time of anarchy. Israel was in a political chaos, and Eli's sons, those who were supposed to be the leaders of the nation, instead of taking care of their people, they're taking advantage of them. They abuse their power. They insult the Lord and put their own desire and profit over the needs of the people whom they're to be serving. They're a joke and disgrace to all surrounding peoples, to all surrounding tribes and nations. And something rings the bell here. Because the tendency of the powerful, of those who are in charge, of those who are supposed to lead their people and make their nations great for the Lord, their tendency to take advantage of those who are vulnerable, it's nothing new under the sun, really. Don't we see it around us too? We're keeping up carefully with the news and the political happenings. Yet what strikes me the most in the scripture is that God calls a child, a new generation, to address and mend that what Eli and his sons failed to do. See, it's not that long ago that we marched for our children's lives. And we remember the names of those whose lives were uselessly wasted. And we have gotten together here in Fort Washington and we prayed. And we sang and we pushed the strollers and we took pictures to share on the social media lid and inspired by the young people from Parkland, Florida. And also those from within our own community here in Port Washington, Anya and Grace included, and many others around the country as well. We're children, we're grandchildren. We were parents and grandparents and pastors and rabbis. We're lay leaders and teachers, we're people of faith and justice, and all of us, one by one, we asked and demanded that our children's lives and safety become a priority. God calls a child to bring about change. God calls children, a new generation, to address and mend that what our generation has perhaps failed to see or notice or even understand. It's almost as if the first Samuel was written in our 21st century America. But guess what? There is a glimpse of hope. Even though Eli is unable to bring his son's destructive behavior to a screeching halt, he wholeheartedly supports Samuel, that child whom God calls to work for radical change. And even though Eli's support of Samuel's call is ultimately the uncall of Eli and his sons, you know, you can say a forced retirement, nevertheless, Eli encourages Samuel to listen to what God has to say and to walk where God will lead. And we can do that for our children. In fact, I have repeatedly seen us do that for our children, and that's what gives me hope. Because you see, God calls Samuel to speak during a time of turmoil and impending war. And God calls him to speak the words of truth. And the scriptures tell us that it's God's truth of how God loves the world, the whole world. All are God's children, not just the select few who may benefit from the current establishment. And I admit, you know, it may be so much easier to put the air conditioning in the sanctuary, right, Lee? Or maybe have some landscaping done around the building, because, you know, we can pay others to do that for us, those who are qualified to do the job. But to love everyone the way God does, the way God's Son Jesus does, and risk offense and hurt, that's a whole different story. Still, we're called to tune into God's language of love and kindness. We're free to try and even struggle and fail in what we attempt, because in God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a promise that all things, even our failed efforts, will be brought to a good end. And when God calls Samuel, you know, God is not seeking a balance of some perfect qualities. After all, Samuel is just a boy on the margins, a child who isn't bound by the political interests of his elders. He's not even from the right tribe to be a priest. He's not a Levite as prescribed in the Torah and the law. And as grown-ups, you know, we can even say that he's out of touch with the real world. Still, God chooses Samuel to be a leader who will facilitate a major political change in Israel and challenge its future political leaders, the kings, to tend to the poor and to those who have hardly any resources, and to care for the powerless, to care for the widows and their children, and to welcome the foreigners and strangers, which, by the way, is one of the most frequently spoken ordinances of God in what we call the Old Testament. The first part of our Bible, the one that Jesus came to fulfill, not to abolish. See Matthew 5 when you get a chance. Now, let's not stay in the past, because we know that the poor and the hungry and the foreigners are still among us, and they're still at the mercy of the strong. And we also know that human craving for power still destroys lives and livelihoods. And the task of us, the churches, all denominations, we have to call out injustice and the abuse of power, not to support it, not to worship it, not to excuse it, not to benefit from it, not to ignore it. Our nations will never be great for the Lord if we let those whom God calls us to love, if we let them fall in between the cracks. We have people filled with hate for others because of the systems that we have in place in our society that places blame where there shouldn't be blame. You know, I hear around, "Do you want to have a good life? Get your act together." That's what I hear. "Only you can help yourself. You want to make money? You better get a good education. Only you can help yourself." That's what I hear. "You want to help health insurance? You better make enough money to pay for it on your own, because only you can help yourself." That's what I hear. In our society, we reinforce the idea that we cannot rely on anyone else for help other than ourselves. We're scrapping pensions for 401ks. Help yourself. And what about healthcare? You know, being forced to pay a private company for insurance that has such a high deductible that you hope nothing bad happens to you, like having a baby. All the while, Jesus healed people and didn't charge them at all. Not even a penny. Or, you know, sometimes people ask me, how socialist is Slovakia? How socialist is your country? And Pastor David, he has a really good response to it. And he says, just as socialist as ours over here, forgetting about those who fall between the cracks. Those who make too much money for Medicaid and Medicare, but not enough to get their own insurance. Those who lose their homes because they lose their jobs. Those who are seeking safety for their children and themselves, yet are offered none. Instead, we demonize them. You see, sometimes I think that we overanalyze and overthink God's calling. When God in Christ calls us to do justice, to be the followers of Jesus, God invites us to be in the daily company of Jesus and to see people around us the way Jesus sees them. And Jesus cares about people. Jesus cares about all people without difference. And Jesus also desires our loving hearts. And he needs our hands and our feet and our undying commitment, because people out there and people in here in this sanctuary, we all want to be loved and we all want to be treated with respect and dignity. You see, when someone calls my cell phone, I have two options. I can answer the call, or I can ignore the call and let it go to voicemail. And the same approach applies to God calling us to Christ's holy work of justice. We can either answer, or we can ignore, turn away, and learn to believe that we cannot make a difference. The thing is, you and I, we are always able to make a difference. God in Christ calls us to make a difference. And God's voice is all around us. You can hear God's voice in a news story about a hungry child in Delaware County, our own New York State. You can hear God's voice as you walk the streets of the city, and those with no homes are reaching out their hands and pleading for help. You can hear God's voice in people who have inadequate health care, and people who struggle to keep up with their mortgage or rent, those who have hardly minimum wage. Or maybe their only car broke down and now they can't make it to work. You can hear God's voice in those who come to the laundromat to do their laundry as you're volunteering for the laundry love. Or maybe as you're tending to the church-raised vet garden so the vegetables and herbs that will grow can be shared with those in our community who may not easily afford them. You can hear God's voice in the voices of those who were brought to the United States as little children, yet now are being deported to countries they don't even know. You can hear God's voice in the crying of the families that are forcibly separated from each other, or in the tears of the children who are fleeing the violence in their own countries, only to encounter more of it in places that they thought were safe. God's voice is all around us. And dare I say, speak, Lord. Dare I say, just like Samuel, speak, Lord, because your church is listening. Speak, Lord, because all of us here, we are listening, and our hearts are open. And dare you say, amen. Thanks be to God.